Boom.
Great.
Welcome to People Seek Meeple, a board game recommendation podcast. Though you may not know that from our first 5 minutes, which is usually catching up with our families.
Yeah, for the most part. We'd like to welcome you to what is going to very obviously be our second take of an introduction. Because the audio was bad, and so I had to scrap it. But if you were listening to the first one, you would know that we were in a lovely city called Warsaw in a board game store called Strefa MTG.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
We have been in Warsaw for about a month, made some gaming friends.
Yes, yes.
Before that, we were in Italy hanging out with my mom, living large.
That's true.
Because she paid for stuff.
We did so many touristic things that we wouldn't do otherwise.
Yeah.
Yep.
And before that, we were in Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we stayed at an organic farm and they had two kids.
Yep, it was in a village that had maybe 12 people living in it, but once upon a time had around 900 people living in it.
Yeah.
So it was like this place that was just empty and the houses were all broken and creepy and awesome.
I mean, it's basically a board game waiting to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two kids we were staying with loved board games as well, so we played an ungodly amount of Uno Spin.
Yep, yep.
And all kinds of games that they liked and games that we could teach them using very basic English.
Yeah, one of the other games we played was the third edition of Dungeons & Dragons, which they, like, the family had on hand because they'd always wanted to play D&D. They got the books, but they never managed to get into it. And I was just like, oh yeah, I run D&D games. So they were like, nah, let's play the game. And so I learned third edition of Dungeons and Dragons. I've only been familiar with fifth edition, which seems a lot more, now that I'm familiar with both of them, or familiar enough, seems a lot more streamlined. With third edition, you can go completely off the rails with character building, and it's very possible to make a bad character. But it's a lot more difficult to do that in fifth, so that's good. But also, there's a lot more freedom, I think, that I enjoyed in third edition of character creation and putting points in places and lots of different options that you could take. Yeah, I don't think I prefer either edition. I think it just depends on the kind of person that you are.
Yeah. Or the kind of person you're running a game for.
That's true. Yes. Running a complicated Dungeons & Dragons game with people that hadn't played Dungeons & Dragons, including a younger one with limited English capabilities, made it a very interesting situation.
You did great, though.
And so did they.
They did, yeah. We had a lot of fun with it. The boy was the only one who could speak to a kobold.
Yes.
His character. And so there was this great moment of Will as the kobold saying things, which his parents would then translate to him. And then he would say things to the kobold, which his parents would translate back to Will. But then he would also translate what he said back to us. So, or like, I would ask, like, what did the kobold say? And then his parents would translate that to him. And then he would tell us what the kobold said, and they would translate that back. It was just this beautiful moment.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it. But we can talk about what we do on this podcast here.
What do we do on this podcast?
Well, we love answering your questions about what to play next.
Get out.
We do. If you have a question about what game suits a certain occasion or a friend who's kind of picky, we hopefully can help with finding a game for that situation or friend. If you have a question, you can send it to peopleseekmeeple@gmail.com.
But be careful, because that inbox is just bursting.
And even still, we will answer every single email that we get. We also have
thousands of emails.
We also have a subreddit, r/peopleseekmeeple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If your question needs to be answered by a certain time, please put that in the subject line, and we'll do our best to get to it on time. And if we can't, we will send you an email about it. If we have already recommended a game that we think is perfect for you, we'll refer you to the episode. And apart from that, we'll let you know when the episode is out that we have answered your question in. Let's get to it! Question one comes to us from a Reddit user. Hi, I have a bunch of games on my shelf that I never get to play because it's so hard to get out. We're looking for a two-player game or a game that scales well to two, preferably cooperative and with a playtime of no more than an hour.
I would recommend a lovely little green box with the name Vlada Chivatl plastered on it, saying Codenames Duet, a cooperative, normally two-player version of Codenames that will take around 40, 45 minutes to play, maybe even less than that. The idea of, if you've played Codenames before, then you'll know one person is trying to get their team to say specific words and not say other specific words on this 5x5 grid. Codenames Duet changes it in that you are both the clue giver and you both have the same little piece of paper in front of you.
Is a double-sided clue-giving card.
That's right.
Yeah, so what is a keyword for you might be a civilian for somebody else.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. Really mixes it up.
You are in danger, especially if you play it with your partner, you are in danger of feeling a little bit foolish at the end of a game. We played Codenames Duet a fair amount of times, and sometimes would just come off like having just this low energy of being like, why are we useless? this game sucks, but it doesn't suck.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
Then we would remember it was a game and that we don't actually think exactly the same, even though we think really similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Codenames Duet by Czech Games Edition. Designed by Vlada Chivatl and Scott Eden, who helped out with the cooperative aspects.
I thought you might enjoy The Mind or The Game. Both are great, designed by Wolfgang Warsch and published by NSV. The Game came first, I believe, and in that one you have cards numbered 2 to 99, and you need to play the cards either going upwards or going downwards from 1 to 100 or down from 100 to 1. There's a way that you can sort of gain 10 points back if you have a multiple of, not a multiple, I suppose, if you have a card that is 10 more or less than whatever's on the table. So if there's a column going up and there's a 22, I can play a 12 and bring it back down 10 digits.
Just as a quick addendum, the game is designed by Stefan Bendorf. I thought it was designed by Wolfgang Warsch as well.
Oh, so the game is Stefan and the mind is Wolfgang Warsch.
Yes.
Thank you for that correction. Anyway, you have to be able to play all of your cards in the game in order to win. The mind, there's no communication. You each have a certain number of cards, and you have to play them in the right order, or you lose. It's a lot of fun.
It's ridiculously simple, and it's one of those things where you can't believe you hadn't thought of it first. But cards from 1 to 101, you're all in a group of, like, 5-4 people. You have to...
Or two.
Or two, yeah, that's true. Two is an important number for this specific question.
Yes.
Yeah,
we played it quite a bit as well.
Yeah, and you learn to communicate via looks, and like a specific raise of the eyebrow means yeah, go on, you play a card. But yeah, no, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So that's The Mind and or The Game.
Question two by Arthur Mauch from Arthur Mauch. Yeah, I mean, I guess he did publish this question.
He authored the question.
Yeah.
Arthur authored the question.
Brilliant. Hi all. I'm having some friends round next weekend. There'll be 8 of us all together. I've got some games lined up for us to play. Codenames, Sushi Go Party, Cards Against Humanity, The Chameleon, Jackbox Games, etc. But I'm looking for some new ideas that we could try out. What would you recommend for a very casual crowd of 8 people? Thanks in advance.
I thought that you might like Camel Up.
because it's pretty casual, and lots of people like gambling for low stakes, or no stakes in this case.
Yeah.
We also recommended Camelup in episode 4, so if you want a little bit more information, you can check that episode out. This is designed by Stefan Bogen and published by Eggertspiel. And basically, there's 5 camels racing around the board, and you bet on which one will win each heat and which will win the entire race.
Yeah.
The fun thing is the camels stack, so even when you think you know who's ahead, it could change at a moment's notice. It's a really fun party game.
Mm-hmm. I got a redesign recently as well.
Ooh.
Which is kind of exciting. It's got a new shiny box and new artwork, and I think also they introduced a camel now that goes backwards.
Whoa.
Yeah, so great. I wanted to recommend a game called Deception, Murder in Hong Kong by Toby Ho and published by Jolly Thinkers. It is a deduction game, and basically one of you has committed a crime and you have left behind some kind of evidence and some like an item of evidence as well as some kind of circumstantial thing. The forensic scientist knows who the murderer is, and they know how they did it, and are trying to give clues to everyone else to try and figure out exactly who the murderer is, exactly what the murder weapon was, and exactly what the evidence was. It is a lovely little game. If you play it properly, everyone gets a minute to plead their case and say why it's not them and why they think it's someone else, and then after that minute you stop and go on to the next person. If you follow those rules, it gets hectic and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a good time because there's sort of some discussion and that's the fun part.
Yeah.
Like, it's not real rules heavy, which is good for a casual gaming group.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the answer to the question. Hey, I know you mentioned it before, but we haven't quite talked about in depth or any amount of detail the place that we are in right now. Strefa MTG. It appears to be mainly a Magic the Gathering based place, but they sell a whole bunch of other stuff, including paints for miniatures themselves, and I was very, very excited to see that they had a handbook for the Nurashima role-playing game. Of course, it's all in Polish, because it was never translated into English, but it was kind of cool just to flick through the pages and look at things that I didn't understand, only because Nurashima Hex is my favorite game. And I was kind of exciting to nerd out over that. Yeah. Another exciting thing is that you can just, like, show up and play games. They've got a decent selection of games here. They're all in Polish, so you need to look up the rules and stuff.
Yeah, but they have Wi-Fi, so you can download the PDFs.
Exactly. But it seems to be a constant of, like, board game places here, is that they have board games that you can just sit down and play, and they don't seem to charge you anything.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. So yeah, if you're ever in Warsaw, make sure you come check out Strefa. And now, it's time for what we played today. Hey, what did we play today?
We nailed that.
Yeah.
Well, we fooled around with concept a little bit.
We did.
Which was kind of fun. But I think because we were coming up with some of our own suggestions, it was really difficult.
It was. Yeah. All the cards were in Polish, so we had to think of our own things.
Yeah. But it's a neat idea. It's a little bit like 20 questions where you have like the... it's a person, place, or thing, or animal, or human, or plant, and then just sort of some other pictures on the board that will hopefully lead your teammates to guess what it is.
But basically, you've just got a great big board of different pictures on it, and you put icons, or little blocks on the pictures to try and bring your team or just the other person closer to the answer of the question. I feel like there's like a constructed way to play this game with points and stuff, but I don't think that seems like the best way to play it, really.
Anytime I've ever played it, we just kind of were like, hey, can you get this?
Yeah,
and we
try.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it is meant to be played in teams.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
We also played...
Azul!
Sintra.
Stained Glass of Sintra.
Azul 2.
Electric Stain Glue. Oh,
yeah. Really riffing now. Look at us go.
Yeah, so we played this one at Essenspiel. We gave it a little go with four players back in Germany. And now we've played it again here, our second playthrough of Azul, Stained Glass of Sintra. What do you reckon?
It was good. We played a lot of Azul with my family at Christmas time, so it was nice to play Azul 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the concept. I like the game. I like that as many layers as there are in Azul 1 when you're making decisions, there's even more now to consider if you want to. But you don't have to, and you'll still probably be okay.
That's true.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Optimizing. Kind of fun? What am I saying? I like this game a lot.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you, but I still enjoy that tactile, taking the things, putting them on the thing, flipping the thing over, removing the thing. I like it when the windows get smaller and smaller and smaller because you're completing more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really enjoy that sensation. Yeah.
And that's what we played today.
Question 3 is from Reddit user mswitch222. I'm going to a board game cafe today with a few people, and we'll probably have about 2 hours or so. Is there any fast-to-learn board games that someone can recommend that none of us have played and are easy to pick and easy to learn to play a full game or maybe two in that time?
Well... probably is the answer, but we don't know what you've already played.
We don't know what you've played, but I guess that means we can rule out the ones that you would find in, like, family homes, like Carcassonne.
Yeah, yeah. We've
King
taken,
Domino,
we've
stuff
taken
like that.
The really popular stuff off the list and gone for the lesser-known games or older games.
Yeah. So, what do you have in store for this lucky question asker?
I thought you might enjoy Splendor, designed by Marc-André, and published by Space Cowboys. This one's been around for a while, I think 2014. And it's really simple to learn. There's like 3 steps. You take 2 or 3 gems. You can use the gems you have to buy a card, or you can reserve a card. And those are all the rules. There's like a couple other things to add, but learning to play is very, very simple. So it kind of seems to fit that criteria. And depending on how your group plays, you will definitely get a game in under an hour.
I'd say so, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Moving on. My suggestion is something we brought up a little bit earlier this episode. Railroad Inc. by Hjalmar Höck and Lorenzo Silva. We purchased this at Essenspiel, and so far I have had 0 regrets. I think it's a marvelous game. Every game feels different. There's not a lot of interaction between other players, but I do really enjoy that you all kind of suffer together equally. You all have to deal with the same crappy roles that you all end up with, and that's something that I thoroughly enjoy. But this game will take maybe a half an hour to play, like 10 minutes to learn, and yeah, you'll want to play it at least a couple of times, I think.
And a lifetime to enjoy.
Yeah, that, and it plays up to 6 people, which is a nice number of folks.
Yeah, it's cool. If you want a little bit more player interaction, you can use the People Seek Meeple mod. And we like to play with a drafting mechanism where the first person rolls all 4 of the dice, or 6 if you're playing with an expansion, and they choose one of the dice to keep and pass the other 3 to be rolled by the next player, and so on, so that everybody gets to sort of choose something, kind of.
And then to use the 4 kept dice of that round.
Yeah, So it kind of adds a little bit of interaction that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And we've had fun with it both ways, so. So enjoy.
Yeah. 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 It's a sad time.
It's the end.
We have to go.
We've come to the end of another People Seek Meeple podcast.
It's true. But never fear. Don't fret. Because we'll be back.
We'll be back.
And we'll be better than ever.
We have a sort of a surprise for you.
Yeah. Maybe a fun little surprise, maybe sort of, kind of, possibly.
Hopefully. We don't want to announce it right now, just in case, but yeah. We're like 90% sure we have a pretty cool surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, well, have a great week, everybody.
Yeah, have a nice time being yourselves.
Bye.
Smile.